Now in verse 25, he is going to go right to the man and he's going to say, now let me tell you where you're going to struggle. Your wife is going to struggle because of the sin nature that is wired in her because of the fall. She is going to struggle in rightly arranging herself under you. She is going to naturally want to resist you. She is going to naturally want to dominate you. And the Spirit of God in transforming power can change all of that and should change all of that and must change all of that. But on the other hand, you as her husband are going to struggle in an entirely different area. You're not going to have any problem wanting to dominate her. You're not going to have any problem wanting to rule her. You're not going to have any problem wanting her to serve you. In fact, you're going to want those things for all the wrong reasons. And the reasons are motivated by the single area in your life where you're going to struggle. And the area where you're going to struggle is in loving this imperfect woman that God gave you. You're going to struggle with that. So men, the first thing you need to know is there is a reality in which this was given. And the reality is this. These were men living in the first century where pagan ideas about the home were absolutely warped. And you know what? We live in a day and age where ideas about the home are absolutely warped. One of the ways they're warped is we happen to think that the home is the center of our universe. And it isn't. It's the center of God's church. God's church is the center of God's universe. And God has given you this, not so much so you can have a good home. That's going to happen as God graciously intervenes in your behalf. But so that you can properly arrange yourself as a home in the broader family of the church so that the church can do the mission God called it to do. And that is to display the glory of God. The responsibility that God gives to you is very simple. Now, simple isn't easy. It just means it's not complicated. God doesn't give you 49 things to do. He says, here's what you need to do as a husband. You need to love your wife. Now, I want you to look at that verse, verse 25 in your Bible, and I want you to think about that responsibility for just a moment. Number one, that responsibility is not optional. God does not say to you, I want you to make an attempt to love your wife. I want you to see if you can think about loving your wife. This is not optional. This is a commandment. Secondly, not only is it a commandment, it is a commandment that you're to do voluntarily. Remember when we talked to your wives here a week ago, and we talked about submission being something that shouldn't have to be dragged out of them, that it should be something that is just part of their willingness to come under God's authority and that it's to be done willingly. They are to submit themselves. The same idea is here in this text. You are to willingly, voluntarily, out of your own heart, love your wife. And then you're to do this persistently. This is something that is to be progressively and persistently displayed in your life. In fact, the two other places in your Bible that talk about this warn that if this isn't done, one of the things that's going to happen to you, for example, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 19, you are going to become harsh to your wife because you become embittered at her. And in Peter's account, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, we're warned that this has to be done with tenderness and with affection, with knowledge and with consideration of our wife's estate. So God is very clear here when he talks about the fact that there is a responsibility that he's given to each of us men who are married, and he lays it down in one phrase, love your wife. This is a command. It is to be done willingly and voluntarily, and it is to be done progressively and persistently. Now, the word love in that verse is an important word. It's a word that you're familiar with. It's the word that God used in John 3:16 when God loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his what? Only begotten Son. It's the word that he used in Matthew when he talked about loving your enemies. So one of the things that God wants you to understand as you look at this command that you don't have an option to fulfill is this. God is asking you to love your wife with a specific kind of love. And the specific kind of love that you are to have for her does not rest on how attractive she is to you, or how easy she might be to love, or how gracious she might be, or how well she is doing her responsibility to submit. God says, I want you to love her. Now, men, not all women are easy to love. You ought to be thankful that God gave you a wife that was easy to love, because there are some men who aren't as fortunate, who did not get that grace from God. Have you ever been somewhere and you've looked at a scenario unfold and you've looked at your wife and you've said, you know what, all of the things I complain about, just cancel them out. I am so thankful that you are the one that God gave me to love and that I don't have to deal with all of this. That is just a reality. But you know what, man? Imagine that you were married to the woman of your nightmares, not the woman of your dreams. Imagine that you were married to the woman of your nightmares. You know what God says to you? I want you to love her like I love her. This has nothing to do with how it makes you feel. I mean, you can step back and say, well, Pastor, let me just say something right now, okay? Can I just interrupt? I just want to ask you this question. What if my wife doesn't do this? Or, you know, I tried that once, and it didn't go very well. Or you just don't understand. This woman is very unusual. Here is the point. Most of us in this room had a choice about who we married. I can't remember the last time I did a wedding. The bride, and she's all happy, and here's the poor husband, and the best man is dragging him out, and he keeps going back, and no, you gotta, it just doesn't happen. Maybe it happens, but it's not typical. Most of the time when we enter into the marriage agreement, we are entering into an agreement with a person that we chose to enter in. Paul is writing this to people who may not have had that choice. And he still says to them, you need to love this woman that in my providence is your wife like I love her. I mean, that's the point to the responsibility. You are to be a display to her of the way that God loves her. Husbands, love your wives. So where in the world do you get that? Look at the next verse. How are you supposed to do that? There is a role model that God gives us. You're to do that just like Christ, what? Love the church. Honestly, at some point as men, we have to stop using our wives as an excuse for why we're not doing what God told us to do. You say, well, do men really do that? All the time. It's hardwired into us. Go back to the very first man that ever lived on the planet, to the very first sin that he ever committed, to the very first thing he said to God. You know what he said to God? The woman you gave me. In other words, this was Adam in the Hebrew saying, it wasn't me. It wasn't my fault. I did it, but it wasn't me. It wasn't my fault. And we have continued that process today. There is no question in my mind that there are times in my life and there are times in your life where the temptation is to excuse the way we are living out of the will of God because of the woman that we're married to. And Paul says, no, God told you what to do with that woman. And it has nothing to do with how easy she is to love. It has nothing to do with how nice she makes you feel. It has nothing to do with any of that. It has everything to do with my purposes. I want you to display to her what it's like to be loved by me. Just like I want the church to display to the world what it's like to be loved by me. I want you to love your wife like I have loved the church. So that brings us to the question, how did Christ love the church? How did Christ do that? Well, it's right there in verse 25. Look at verse 25 again. We are to love our wives just like Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Now, the way the Lord loved the church can be summed up in this way. He loved sacrificially. He gave. He loved voluntarily. He gave himself. Throughout the New Testament texts that talk about the sacrifice of the Lord, there are verses like John 15:13 that tell us that this was the Lord's own volition, that he did this voluntarily. He said, greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And he went one step further and laid down his life for who? His enemies. And in John 10, verse 17 and verse 18, he says, I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. It's not just that he sacrificed. He did it willingly, and he did it selflessly. He gave himself for her. There was no perceived advantage to him for loving this way. There was nothing that he got in return for loving this way. In fact, the people that he loved, when he was loving them, were not loving him back. They were not submitting to him. They were not rightly arranged under him. They were, in fact, in rebellion to him. In fact, Romans makes a point about this. He says that God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When Jesus Christ gave himself for the church was still in sin and in rebellion. And it was the act of this sacrifice that brought the church into right relationship with God. Men, can I suggest something to you that you may not have thought about? That one of the objectives to God telling you to love your wife this way is because in doing this, it will allow him to bring her to her right place spiritually before God. Can I speak very bluntly and very boldly to us as husbands? One of the reasons that it may be hard for your wife to obey verse 22 is because she is not experiencing a husband who is obeying verse 25. Could it be that if you were to give yourself to verse 25 and making that a reality in your life and loving your wife like Jesus loves his church, could it be that God would work in your wife's heart and help her to become a woman who lives out verse 22 with the right spirit and the right heart? There is a reason for all of this that God gives. Look at verse 26. Why did God love this way, and why do we need to love our wives this way? Look at verse 26. That idea is expressing purpose. This was God's intention, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, so that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. In other words, men, God is saying to you, I want you to love your wife like I love the church. I want you to display to her what I have displayed to my church. But here is why I have done this. Here is the objectives to my love. I'm not trying to have a happy home. In fact, in order to accomplish the objectives, there might be some very difficult days. I'm not trying to set up a scenario where I can be served and I can have everything the way I want it. I have a much higher objective. What is the objective? That I can present my wife to the Lord the way the Lord is presenting me to his Father and to himself. And here's what God is doing. He is sanctifying us and cleansing us. I mean, you see it right away in verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. So, man, one of the things God wants you to do in loving your wife is to love her enough to sanctify and cleanse her with the word. Can I say something to you, man, that maybe you have not heard, or if you've heard it before, it hasn't really registered to you? You need to pastor your wife. I am the pastor of the flock, and I teach you the word, but there is a very real sense in which you need to take the word of God, and you need to help your wife understand it and come in line with it. And you know what's hard about preaching the word? It's very hard to preach something that you're not what? That you're not living. This is not the idea that you take your wife out of the church and you don't let her be a part of the church. This is the idea that in addition to the shepherding that God has called you to be under in the church, there is a ministry that you are to have in your wife's life in relationship to the Word of God that is sanctifying her and cleansing her. So that, just like Jesus Christ has a second purpose, you can present her back to God in a glorious condition. I mean, Jesus Christ is right now at work in your life and mine, getting us ready for our big day. And the big day is the day of our presentation. And on that day, when we stand before God and all of creation is watching, Jesus Christ received to himself the bride that he purchased. She is going to stand before him in all of her splendor, in all of her glory. There isn't going to be a spot or a wrinkle anywhere to be seen. And this is exactly the example that Paul uses when he wants you and me to know how to love our wives. We're to love our wives just like Jesus Christ loved his church. We are to give ourselves willingly and voluntarily to the task of sanctifying our wife so that we can return her back to God in a glorious condition. Let me ask you something. If God were to call your wife to his presence today, would she stand before him in better condition or in worse condition spiritually than when you married her? Part of your responsibility, men, in this room is that you love her enough to wash her spiritually so that when she stands before the Lord, she will stand there in splendor and in glory, not having moral or spiritual blemishes on her life. So let me ask you a question. Are you the reason that your wife sins in her heart? Are you the reason because of the harsh words that you say? Are you the reason because of the way you are at home that your wife sins? And men, this ought not to be the case. What will solve this is when you take seriously verse 25. Are you going to love your wife enough to live in such a way that does not provoke her to sin? The Bible says we're to provoke one another, but we're to provoke one another to what? Good works. That's what Hebrews says. Are you making it easy for your wife to be where she should be in her spiritual life? Or are you the reason that she struggles? Are you the reason in her heart? I mean, men, if you are married to a woman who is regularly praying for God to make you right with him, you are in violation of this verse no matter how many times you bring her flowers and no matter where you take her on her birthday. At some point, you got to come to verse 25 and you've got to connect verse 25 to verse 26 and you've got to connect verse 26 to verse 27. And verse 27 literally lays out why we do this, that she should be holy and without blemish. And what it's going to take is a washing with the word. Look at the text again. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. The word at the end of verse 26 there is the word for statement. It has reference to the individual statements of God's word. Now, men, can I just caution you for a minute here? I don't want to give you a picture that the New Testament is not painting. This text is not telling you that you are to be your wife's soul spiritual pastor. In other words, you sit her down and you open up your Bible and you stand there and you go like this. Okay, do you see this? Look, see this? That's not what it's talking about here. It's not talking about you having your own service with your Bible at home with your wife doing this. What is that going to do to your wife, do you think? It is going to make it very hard for her to love the Word. So how do you do this? How did Jesus do it? I mean, go to the Gospels and see how he washed his disciples with the word. You know how he did it? He did it every day, all the time. When they ate together, when they walked together, he is constantly turning around to them and saying things like, look at the lilies. You're worried about food and raiment? Look at the lilies. Who clothes the lilies? Who provides the lilies with their sustenance? And the answer is what? God. God will take care of us. He is constantly pointing in the ordinary flow of life to the deeper spiritual realities from God's word. Man, you have a wonderful opportunity to shepherd your wife according to God's word through the everyday opportunities that unfold in your life. Here you have a bill that you have no money to pay. You know what? Rather than stomping around the house, you can sit down with your wife and say, well, honey, you know what? you know, we've got two choices. We can print it in the basement, or we can pray. And printing it in the basement is going to have major consequences that are going to be difficult for us. Not to say that it's illegal, so let's pray. And you pray. And you go to the scriptures, and you go to those passages that talk about God's provision. And you know what you're doing? You're shepherding your wife. You're washing her with the word. Because when she sees your confidence in the word of God, and she sees God answering the word of God in that way, what does that do to her? It washes her. It purifies her. It sanctifies her. Now, men, let's end with this. This is hard. This is hard. Because the truth is, for many of you men, it is going to take a long time for this process to happen. Therefore, Paul says there's another thing you need to think about when you think about how hard this is. You're to love your wife just like Christ loves the church, but you're also to love your wife just like you love your own what? Your own body. How do you love your body, men? You know exactly what your body can tolerate. You nurture it. You cherish it. I mean, there are some men who are absolutely warped in their thinking who do disfigure and abuse their bodies, but that is not the natural way that men are wired. Men are wired to care for their body. What happens when you get sick? When your wife gets sick, what happens? Nothing changes. She does all the stuff she did before. When you get sick, what happens? The whole household comes to a screeching halt. You go to bed and you have to have soup and crackers and all this pampering, right? I mean, if you're sick like me, it ever happened to you? Your wife gets sick, it's like, oh, honey, I'm so sorry that you feel better. Hey, when's breakfast? I mean, we know, we're hardwired, we know how to handle and pamper our bodies. You know what God's saying? This is how you're to love your wife. You are to nurture her and cherish her just like you cherish your own body. And you know how to do that. In fact, the scripture builds an entire case for keeping the law of God on the natural law that you know how to do that. He says, love your neighbor as what? As you love yourself. If you want to know how to love your neighbor, then look at how you naturally love yourself. 6 times in scripture, he makes that observation. Men, we know how to love our bodies. And Paul says, if you want to learn how to love your wife, love her like Jesus Christ loves the church, and you love her like you love your own body. And you've experienced this because you're a member of Christ's body. You have no excuse, men, for not loving your wife this way. None. You say, well, I don't know what it looks like. Yes, you do. You've experienced it. As a member of Christ's body, you know what it's like to be loved by Jesus Christ. You know how he treats you when you sin and you go a third time for the same sin to ask his forgiveness. I mean, when was the last time Jesus Christ yelled at you? I mean, when was the last time he was harsh with you? When was the last time that he made you bitter because of the way he responded to you? You know what? You know exactly how to love your wife. That's why Paul says it in 140 words. He says, love your wife like Jesus Christ loved his church and like you love your own body. So let me end with this, men. At some point, there's an old southern saying. It goes like this. There comes a time when you've either got to fish or cut bait. And you know what? For us, when it comes to loving our wife, it's time for us to put away our excuses and to quit whining about the woman God gave to us, and to quit excusing all of the things that we do because, you know what, it's just too hard. I'm not a real spiritual leader. I didn't go to Bible college. None of that's in here. God says to us, love her like I love you. We're either going to do it or we're not. We're either going to obey or we're not. And that's why we started last week with the idea that there is a way that seems right to a man, but its ways thereof at the end are death. Man, if you will rise up and love your wife, you will be amazed at what God will do in her.